a part of these programs that are just broken so that we can do something different. If we do not address the entirety of the problem, then it will only persist. We have to address that the fact that income inequality is growing, but rents keep going up. The price of homes keeps rising. So if we're not addressing the entire issue, then we're just putting Band-Aids on bullet wounds, and it has to stop.
I want to thank you both so much for being with us, Carol Fife, director of the Oakland Office for Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, and Misty Cross of Moms for Housing. You can see all our coverage of this issue at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, everybody. It's the official DJ show. Come visit me in Soundtrack City every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. I'm already there waiting on you. And oh yeah, what happens in Soundtrack City stays in Soundtrack City.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Good afternoon and welcome to the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks so much for being with us this Friday afternoon as we continue our beginning of the year 2020 with what has become a couple of New Year's traditions on the WHFR Journal. Of course, last week we spoke to President Russ Cavalhuna from Henry Ford College. Today we're going to go back and go back a week and present the annual presentation from the mayors of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. It's called A Tale of Our Cities. This one, of course, was A Tale of Our Cities 2020. It's an annual event hosted by the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce to sort of kick off the new year, looking at back at some of the projects that were, you know, heavy on the minds of the communities in the previous year, and also a look ahead at what to expect in the upcoming year. Jackie Lovejoy runs the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, and she's going to start off at the podium and introduce the mayors. Now, we're going to present the mayor's remarks pretty much in their entirety. We did do some editing just to be able to fit it all in 1 hour, and also due to some technical issues which came up in the question and answer period. But the actual prepared remarks from the mayors, Mayor Poletko from Dearborn Heights and Mayor O'Reilly from Dearborn, presented pretty much unedited. For your listening pleasure and enjoyment here on the WHFR Journal. We're going to start off with the introduction, and then we'll hear from each mayor. First off, Mayor Poletko, and then Mayor O'Reilly. We'll take a little bit of a break, and then we'll go through the question and answer period on today's edition of the WHFR Journal. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everybody. If you don't know me, I'm Jackie Lovejoy. I run the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm going into my seventh year, and I am delighted to have my dream job. Thank you very much. We'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Beaumont. Thank you very much. Our lunch is sponsored by Comcast. Oh, thank you, Angela. And our table sponsor, Semca. Thank you very much. At this point, I'd like to introduce our Dearborn Heights Mayor, Dan Poletko. He has a long history of public service. While still a senior at the University of Michigan Dearborn, he was elected to serve on City Council and continued serving for 29 years. For most of these years, he served as City Council Chair. Under his leadership, the city has successfully responded to the last recession, and despite cuts in funds from the state, he has maintained city services. He's also instituted several cost-cutting initiatives to increase efficiencies while increasing police and fire services. His appointments of directors and commission members have started to make the city government reflect the diverse cultures that exist in the city of Dearborn Heights. Mayor Poletko prides himself on being accessible to the public by having an open-door policy and meeting residents in their neighborhoods and local businesses. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Dan Poletko.
Thank you for that fine introduction. I appreciate it. And good afternoon to everybody. First, I want to thank the Jackie and all the people associated with the Dearborn Heights Area Chamber of Commerce. This event is something I look forward to every year. It's always a pleasure to share some quality time with each of you and all the members of our business community. It's also a good time for me to spend time with my good friend and colleague, Mayor Jack O'Reilly. We're very proud of the fact that in the last year, the city of Dearborn Heights acquired this whole entire golf course area, two Don Ross golf courses, a fine banquet center, and we're proud of it, and we intend to make this the best golf course in the world. So you're going to see some great things coming. Now, the beginning of the year is always a time for resolutions, time for cold weather, a time for bowl games, a month of playoffs for the Super Bowl, a time to gear up for elections, and also a time for an award season. You have the Golden Globes, Sage Awards, the Grammys, and the Oscars. It's not just the awards, but the acts, the drama, the tears, and the after parties, the best and the worst dress, and of course, the corny jokes. We all know that I love corny jokes, so I feel that it would be remiss if I didn't give a list of a few of my favorite corny jokes to all of you. What award did Joaquin Phoenix win for his weight loss transformation into the Arthur Fleck in Joker? Atrophy. What award did the inventor of knock-knock jokes receive? The Nobel Prize. Never thought Netflix would produce an award-winning series watched by tens of millions around the world, but hey, stranger things have happened. I heard that Elsa got an award for perfect attendance because a cold never bothered her anyway. Kim Jong-un was given an international literary award a couple days ago. After all, he is a supreme reader. I would say that the person that gave me these jokes will no longer be employed at the city of Dearborn Heights. The past year, the city has again added to its fund balance and remains in good financial health. This can only be accomplished by our cost control efforts, diligent management from our staff, and support of our businesses and residents. With the multiple retirements that took place late in 2018 and throughout 2019, I have some new department heads that I'm proud to have added to our team. It was hard to see so many familiar faces retire, and I truly miss them as both directors and friends. However, the new directors have brought some new ideas and perspectives that the city is truly benefiting from. Former Police Chief Lee Gavin retired from the police department in November of 2018. Shortly after, he took on the role of Dearborn Heights Emergency Management Coordinator. After many decades of a law enforcement career, he was a perfect fit. His experience, skills, and connections give him an advantage as he continues to serve Dearborn Heights. His hard work and dedication shows with our CERT program, with CPR training workshops and other opportunities to encourage new members. I couldn't ask for a better staffing in helping the residents through the flood problems, and we experienced some just this last weekend. With the assistance of the director, Lee Gavin, Chief of Staff, Chrissy Laszlo, Ordnance and Animal Control Director, Jack McIntyre, our Fire Chief, Dave Brogan, and countless DPW employees, firefighters, clerical employees, part-timers, our police, new leadership and police officers, and the CERT members who have all risen to the occasion when we have unfortunately incurred flooding situations. Now, John Selmy started as my DPW director in March of last year. He has a great work history in Brentford and has used his knowledge, skill, and networking to really make a positive impact. Together, we have increased capital outlay and have an aggressive plan to replace equipment and move the DPW to lead the way in technology and new processes that will ensure the safety of our employees and better service for our residents and business owners. Under his direction, the city paving projects will include Charlesworth from Ford to Warren, Gully from Haas to Richardson, Fenton Avenue from Haas to Richardson, and Annapolis from Monroe to Harding. We will be continuing with our large sewer separation project just north of Michigan Avenue. In addition, we're looking to replace just under 200 service lines. Our water main replacement projects this year will be Joy Road from Meekster to Beach, Silvery Lane from Haas to Warren Avenue, and Campbell, Williams, and Clippard, just north of Van Born Road. In addition, Brian Haddad came on as a recreation director in April of 2019. He was highly recommended by Hype owner Ali Saad and the City of Dearborn's recreation director. He has brought a new vision to our recreation department that will highlight the programs in Dearborn Heights. We all loved how, through his connections, he brought some great bands to our Spirit Festival. He has already secured 50 Amp Views as Friday's act for the 2020 Spirit Festival and is working on some great entertaining for Saturday and Sunday. Brian is also working on Dearborn Heights' first annual cornhole tournament that will be running concurrently with the Spirit Festival, and I'm looking forward to that particular event. It's also been a nice change to have our tree lighting right here at the Warren Valley Golf Course. This was a great program that will be continuing in the future. Under Director Haddad's direction, there will be improvements to both Swapka and Van Houten Parks this year. Now, after Mohammed Sub's retirement in the fall of 2018, Director Jack McIntyre went above and beyond and stepped in to handle the day-to-day operations of the building department until a replacement for a director could be made. Jack worked with Wait and Trim and set up hours for business owners to come in and meet with the city to run their projects by Wait and Trim and to be able to save money by having these reviewed prior to actually submitting the plans. And so that has run very, very smoothly. In September of 2019, Larry Dumsky accepted the position of Director of the Building and Engineering Department. Larry formerly worked for and retired from the City of Taylor. He has worked part-time as a building inspector for Dearborn Heights and for a few years and was eager to take the lead. Both Jack and Larry are continuing to work together to get the inspections online with the inspectors using tablets. Business owners, residents, contractors, and realtors will be able to view the inspections online without having to physically come into City Hall. Later on in the year, we will also be making certain permits available online to further move transactions and move our city into the future. I must also indicate that Larry and his family hold an annual Christmas for poor families, and I want to acknowledge that that was a great event, and we're very proud of him and his family's efforts. Now, the Van Born Quarter Steering Committee is continuing to meet and is in the process of reviewing ordinances in the cities of Taylor and Dearborn Heights. The intention is to make sure that the zoning ordinances are compatible to ensure that Van Born Road businesses are complementary on both sides and to encourage commerce in the area. And we look forward to what is coming in the Van Born Quarter, so we'll keep you posted on that particular event. In addition, there's some new businesses. We will be having a new outbuilding in front of the Target on Ford Road. There will be new retail space going where the old Trail Bar was located on Ford Road. And on the northwest corner of Van Born and Telegraph, the gas station is being remodeled, and there's some added changes that they intend to make. Now, after serving a little over a year, Chief Dan Voltatori retired in the fall, and that's my former police chief, in 2019. With his retirement, the city had a new chief sworn in on November 21st, 2019. Chief Mike Petrie has had a long career in the Detective Bureau and is using his career and education to lead the police department in a new direction. With retirements and promotions, our police department is in a constant state of hiring. In working with the Human Resource Director, Elizabeth Sova Perry, we will continue to hire new officers to grow this department and diversify to reflect our ever-changing community. Finally, as many of you know, our city treasurer will be retiring from the city at the end of April. He has been a wonderful asset to the city, as in both his position as treasurer and helping to administer both of our pension plans. While we don't know who city council will select to replace him until the November election, we do know that no one will be able to fill John's shoes. Congratulations to him, and may he enjoy a long, happy, and well-deserved retirement. In addition, I want to, and I held them for kind of the end, but one of the people or groups of people that I'm very proud of, as a mayor, you get a lot of complaints. There's one department I never get any complaints about. In fact, I get tons of complimentary things, and that's our Dearborn Heights firefighters. And I know there's a large presence here, but I want to signify the great work they do. Under the leadership of Chief Brogan and the close relationship between the union and management, I think we have a perfect department. As we move into 2020, we will continue to ensure our residents and businesses enjoy the same city services and programs they are accustomed to. We will also continue to work diligently towards keeping our expenses as low as possible while advancing our city into the future. Those of you who are business owners and or residents of Dearborn Heights know why our community is so special. We are a residential community with a unique blend of small to middle-sized retail outlets, private practices, service organizations, and a modest number of manufacturing facilities. This composition, I believe, makes us a rich community based entirely by fostering a diverse selection of goods and services for our residents, which fosters the shared sense of community that is so vital to our environment. We value all our businesses and appreciate their involvement, which plays an important role in the continued fiscal and social well-being of the city. I am very proud to continue to be the mayor of the city of Dearborn Heights, a community that I've grown up in, and I just think it's the greatest place to live, work, and play. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. And if you didn't notice the tall gentleman who snuck in, it's Sam Badoun. And Diane got a late call out, too. So, Diane, give another wave, and Sam Badoun, our Wayne County Commissioners. Thank you. At this point, I'd love to introduce our Dearborn Mayor. John B. Jack O'Reilly, Jr. has served as an elected public official in Dearborn since 1990 and mayor since 2007. Throughout his public career, Mayor O'Reilly has consistently demonstrated his commitment to Dearborn neighborhoods by working to preserve the city's high quality of life. I guess I do need these glasses. Sorry, guys. And attractive residential areas. He has promoted economic development through beneficial relationships with county, regional, and state agencies, corporations, and groups like the Chamber. We're very, very lucky. Among the landmark developments completed under his direction are the Dearborn Administrative Center, the Dearborn City Hall Art Space Lofts, and the John D. Dingle Transit Center. He maintains an active role with the Urban Corps of Mayors, the Conference of Western Wayne, and the Southeast Michigan Council of Governments, among other influential boards. Please help me welcome our Mayor Jack O'Reilly.
Thank you very much, and I'm really pleased to be here. And again, you know, it's really exciting to know that we're moving forward and that things are going well. I don't know if anybody kind of slept in. I was up in the front. So if anybody from the city is here other than our chief, and I know our police chief is here. You want to stand up? Come on. Get up. And then anyone else? Oh, here we are. Yeah. Oh. I should have circled around before I got up here. Okay. You know, we're very, very pleased to be here, and really, you know, it's all about, you know, what are we doing and how are we doing it, and that's what I want to talk about today. You know, the sewer separation project that we've been doing has been very, very successful. It's allowed us to make sure that when we do have some issue or something that in terms of water issues and so on, they don't have an impact on people's homes in terms of garbage and trash, because all of those have now been separated, and so that we've made sure that people won't have that terrible situation to have to deal with going forward. And so we're very pleased with that. And then talk about other issues that we're very interested in. And again, we're committed to working with our community members and others on continuing to make sure that we're getting rid of any of the things that are required to make sure that our families and our children and everybody are safe. We've got a very abrupt program that we're working on. It's been in place now for over a year, and we want to make sure that we continue to make everyone in our community safe and able to have their children be safe also in terms of kinds of things that in the water system had been there and so on. It had never been an issue. It had never been identified. But we are taking very seriously the issue that we have to get rid of those items that are not appropriate for our families. Okay. And then we're also looking at a lot of other different issues and things that we want to achieve. And we're working with partnerships. And so there's a lot of people that we work with on a regular basis. And we work to get an agenda that can be really carried out together. And right here in front of us are some of the people that we work with. And it is really something that we're committed to in Dearborn. We want to make sure that we embrace everybody, that we make sure that we're working with all of the entities and so on in our city who have something that we can do to make sure that they're more successful. And so that's one of the things that we're working with a lot of different people, and I'm going to begin to mention some of those. And that is our people who provide us services, and I lost my place for a minute, so I apologize. So what we're looking at now is what can Dearborn do in cooperation with other communities in our town, in our community, and how do we make that work better? And so, again, we've got a corridor development authority that we're working with, and that corridor development authority is looking at how to connect to things like the city of Detroit and how we can work with them to work on projects that can be of benefit to both of us. There's opportunities there that we want to explore. The Michigan Avenue area is one that we also are looking at. We're trying to make sure that we can see how we can be a catalyst for new development with working with other communities and so on. And then the other things are with our community members. And so one of the things that I'm looking at is working with our people in the Ford Motor Company, and we've got a great relationship going with them, and it's going extremely well. We're working with them directly with their change in how they're operating, the new system that they're putting in, how they're developing their own place for their people, but how it's going to be something where they're committed to making sure that it's open to everybody, that it's going to be part of the whole community. And that's something that is very special, and we've been working with them for a good bit of time on how we can transform from where they used to be isolated to where they are going to be a major party in the community. They're going to be a place where people, anyone here in the room, can come and visit their facility, eat food there, go there, be part of the community. They want to be a really really a different way of looking at how we interface with them and how they benefit from what we provide. So that's something very, very good. And then with our wonderful people at Beaumont, They've been tremendous. We've got a great relationship with them. It started really early on when it turned out they found out that they had water problems under their under their place, and they didn't know what to do. They lost all kinds of equipment, very sophisticated equipment, so on. So we worked with them to go out and get money from the from the state and federal to make. To be able to make a commitment where we could completely change the system so that they would never have to see the water again. And so we worked with them. We got property that we could work with. We dug the holes. We really went at it, and we were able to really make this very special. Now that they are able to provide services without any danger that there would be any problems from water and other things coming in. And then on top of that, they've also then decided that they wanted, and it was mentioned already, that they wanted to make sure that they could help with the health of our community. And one of the things that we identified, and our police and fire were very quick to identify, was the problem with people who had drug addictions and had problems related to that and were dying right in front of them. And so they've now committed to that. They've made a strong commitment. We're already going forward on that. And that's just an incredible thing that's going to happen. We're going to make sure that we're going to help these young people overcome some of the problems that are really causing them a lot of problems. And so that's, you know, with Beaumont, we've got, and then we've got we've got, I'm sorry, oh, our colleges. Another thing that's going on is that we've been working with them. They want to grow bigger in Dearborn. They want to have more amenities to attract their people. And so we have worked with them and will continue to work with them on ways that we can help them create a better place that will be more attractive to people that they're trying to attract, and that it will meet the needs that they have. And so we're working with them. We're looking at properties that we have and other things that we can do to make sure that they are going to be successful in Dearborn and to grow in Dearborn, which is really their big ambition. And that's both of them. And then we've got, I'm working with new glasses, so I'm sorry. I'm having trouble reading what I'm looking at here. But one of the things that we also are very committed to is our south end, our area of Dearborn, that is something that I think people often don't understand. But Dearborn was built so early on. And when it was built in a way that we had to meet the need of Henry Ford in terms of what he needed for his people to work and so on and so forth. And that came to the south end of Dearborn. And it became a real critical place for them. And what happened is people wanted to be, they didn't have enough money to buy the products they were making, so they wanted to live close so they could walk to work, they could do things. I'm very familiar with that from my own family. And so there was, you know, no sense of design, no sense of how did that area of our city, how did that get decided, this should be here, this should be there. It was just whatever was available. So you had them building this wonderful big property, but you had people just, you know, living anywhere, getting in there, and so there was no sense of what belonged where. And we still have that in our community, and we're really struggling to make sure that we can get that completely turned around. So one of the things is that When we're looking at, when we're looking at that part of our community, it is mixed with high industrial and then also a lot of families and so on living there. And that's something that we know has been an issue, but we've been trying to figure out how are we going to change that, how are we going to make it work. And we now have gone on a path that will take us there. We're working on identifying where things can and can't be, redefining redefining. It was never defined. So we're looking at creating a sense of here's where we need to have just for the citizens who live there, their children, for the schools, and then a separate division that says this is what's amenable to people who are trying to do things that are that are not appropriate to that type of enterprise. And so again, that's something that we're very anxious to work on, and we've already started. We're also looking at identifying standards across the board with regard to how the city is developed. Again, as I said, it was developed ad hoc originally, and so a lot of things kind of fall into it doesn't fit. We want to make sure that it does fit, that it's something that's going to be successful, that we're going to be able to tell people they can rely on the fact that if they invest here, this is what they have the right to do, this is what they can do, if they, you know, and make sure that people are well aware and tuned in to what's going on. And we're also working to develop things with Ford Motor Company, and we have a great relationship with them. And one of the things that we're working on there is on a lot of the projects that they're looking at where they want to use the pathway from Detroit out to Dearborn and beyond, and how can we work with them to develop some of the opportunities for them to be part of that development and use Dearborn as a place where they can test out things and so on. And they've been doing it already, and we think it's a great opportunity for us. So we're very interested in that also. We see that is something that we feel is going to be very successful for the community and develop a lot of new opportunities. We also have a major thing in terms of the old mall. The mall in Dearborn, as many of you know, was at once a very place where a lot of activity was going on and so on. It's not happening anymore, and so we're really now looking at that and saying, how can we transform that? How can we work? So we're working with, people who in the know about how can we make that a viable place, make it something that will draw people in, make it something that will be able to be a catalyst for more things going on there. Right now, there isn't any way. It keeps kind of shrinking, and it doesn't have a sense of where it's going. And so we're very anxious to make sure that we can help them and any others to find a way we can make that work, make that be successful. And so we're working with them on that. And Ford has been, again, a great partner. They're working with us, again, on what we want to do there. They're involved. They've had conversations with other people. So what we're trying to do is take the assets that we have within our community, and we want to try and make the most of them, meaning they may not be just the cities. They are some of the people who work here, live here, and we want to make sure that we are creating an environment that is going to make it possible for everybody to achieve their goals. And again, as I said, and to have a healthy environment, because that's probably one of the most important things right now. Every day we're learning more and more about issues that are created that we hadn't been aware of, things that are adverse to our children, adverse to our families, and they are being brought to the forefront, and we need to be responsible and make sure that we're mitigating anything that could be of a serious issue to the people that we serve. And in that, in my mind, is one of the most important things we can do. And we're getting a lot of support from our community members and so on to get involved. And again, it is what we're about. It's who we are. We're a long timer. The last thing I want to say is people forget that Dearborn was built so early, and it was built rather ad hoc. And so as we go forward, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to meet the needs of everyone. And one of the mantras that we have is that, we believe that anybody who chooses to be part of the city of Dearborn has the right, and we will support them and we will work with them. It's a commitment that I made, and we call it One Dearborn. And I'm very, very still committed to the fact that that One Dearborn is essential. It says the message. We want to be a place where everybody succeeds. And the last thing I say is that's where our schools are really anxious to be part of, because, again, attracting the young people, we have an incredible school district, and I'm very supportive of that, and I continue to work with them, and I'm on a board with them, because we know that that is one of the most important things that we can work on in order to make our city successful in the future. So, again, I thank you all.
Dearborn Mayor John B. Jack O'Reilly and Dearborn Heights Mayor Daniel Poletko and their presentations at A Tale of Our Cities 2020, the annual event held by the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. It took place on Tuesday, January 14th, so a little more than a week ago on Tuesday at the Warren Valley Golf Club and Banquet Center on Warren in Dearborn Heights. For more information on the event and other goings-on at the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, you can visit DearbornAreaChamber.org or call 313-584-6100. I'm Alan Mazurek, and we are listening to A Tale of Our Cities 2020 on today's edition of the WHFR Journal. So glad to have you with us. We will be back with more in just a minute. We'll head into the question and answer period of the presentation, which took place on Tuesday, January 14th at the Warren Valley Golf Club and Banquet Center. We'll be back with more on the WHFR Journal in just a moment here on WHFR, Making Waves.
Man, all this normal radio music is lame. That's why you gotta check out the Synth Warehouse on WHFR, Tuesdays from 10 to midnight. We play house, techno, city pop, lo-fi, and so much more. The Synth Warehouse, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on the only station making waves, WHFR.FM.
25% of community college students report food insecurity and are going to bed hungry. Shocking, right? A friend sitting next to you in class could be going hungry and you'll never know. The good news? HFC is here to help. The Hawk's Nest has non-perishable food items available for students experiencing hunger. And you can help too. By donating non-perishable food items or money, you can be sure that 100% of your donation goes directly back into your college community. Donate today and fill a friend's plate. Go to hfcc.edu and search Hawk's Nest.
Welcome back. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Susan McGraw has the week off, but I thank you for being with me today on the program as we go back and listen to A Tale of Our Cities 2020, the annual presentations from the mayors of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, that being Mayor O'Reilly from Dearborn and Mayor Poletko from Dearborn Heights. We heard their presentations earlier in the program, and right now we're going to move to the question and answer session. A few technical problems that took place with the guest microphone, but we did our best so that you'll be able to hear the questions and, of course, the mayor's responses. So we do hope you'll stick with us. And as I said, really just a very little editing on the day as it unfolded, mostly for time, so that we could squeeze it into our one-hour time slot here on the WHFR Journal, and some technical considerations as well. Anyway, we continue with the Tale of Our Cities 2020, presented by the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce on Tuesday, January 14th, on today's edition of the WHFR Journal.
So now we're going to take questions from the audience. Does anyone have a question? And I'll be around with the microphone.
My name is Sue Sachinoff, freelance writer for the Press and Guide. My question is for Mayor Palatko. What do you have to say about your ongoing battle with the city council about the forensic accounting audit?
The question dealt with the council wants, some of the council members want to conduct a forensic audit and my reaction to it. I thought there was an excellent article in the Press and Guide last Sunday. My position has been that it is foolish and a waste of money to do an audit of the audit, and that all these records have already been audited. If you have something, what I would have suggested they do, and I think it made most sense, was to go to Plant Brand, who audited originally, ask your questions. If you don't feel there's sufficient amount of answers, then you can certainly have a specific audit in a particular section. What the council has done is they've hired an attorney firm, or attempted to hire an audit to do an audit. Why would you want an attorney? So in my estimation, it now becomes a secret audit and subject to attorney-client privilege, and none of us would know the results, only what they want to release. It's a waste of money, will cost millions of dollars. I am a CPA. I have done forensic audits. I did while I was with Ernst & Young. I did a forensic audit down for a bank in the Monroe area, and we charged them millions and millions of dollars. I don't think council members have any idea how expensive it is. And so, consequently, I think it's been foolish. I bought it. I've appealed. Circuit Court ruled in the council's behalf. I went to the Court of Appeals, and I got a stay, and that's where we're at right now.
Okay, while we work on the wireless, Mike, I know people are interested. Can both mayors discuss the importance of the census this year, the 2020 census, and how important that is?
Well, the census is really something that we've been losing. We've been losing the last two census, and that is that we're not getting everybody to be there, and that's the way that funds are carried out throughout the communities. So if we don't get our people to get out and commit themselves to taking on that challenge, then we are going to lose money, and we have been, for not just the cities, but for all kinds of other entities. So that's a big issue. We've also, in the last two census, we actually lost our opportunity to have representation in Washington, because we lost each year, we lost one of our staff, our openings. Yeah. And so it's really critical, and there's a lot of things going on that are causing people to be anxious about it. They don't know if they're going to be held to something else, if somebody's going to look into some of their background. We have to assure, and we have to go around and ask people, or make sure that we commit that people will know that it is really protected well. There's nothing that they can get on anyone if they're concerned about whether or not they may have some kind of concern, you know, that they're not, they hadn't done everything correctly when they came here to the city. It's all about just, if they are here, they're living here now, they need to go and do it. The Census Bureau has done a great job of making sure that there is no way that that data is going to end into anyone else's hands. So it's something that we have to go out and bring up with people. Make sure people, and a lot of people, you'd be surprised, are concerned, or they just feel like, I don't even want to bother with it. And it is an absolute need for us both in our own communities, but in the state here, in order to be able to have the opportunities that we need going forward. And it's something that you can't get back.
I just want to add real quickly, because in fact I had a lengthy discussion with one of my council members, Lisa X. Clayton, yesterday about this particular subject. Two things I want to point out. As was mentioned, our state shared revenues, a lot of the federal dollars are based one of the items is population. So it's extremely important that people get counted in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights so that we get our fair share of our money. Secondly, I'm very, very concerned because we also have sizable ethnic populations that are very scared of ICE and some of the questions that are going to be asked in that census. And the real fear is that the information that the census is going to collect it is going to be returned and given to certain federal agencies, and then they're going to get a knock on their door 2 months later. And we need to get the message out there that the census data is to be held separately and privately and not be shared for enforcement purposes for other federal agencies. But we've got to work on that. And one of the things that the councilwoman and I, and she had talked to a couple other mayors, and we are dropping the ball in Wayne County, quite frankly. I don't see a real organized effort, and we're going to have to we're going to have to join with Dearborn and other Garden City and other communities, because if we don't, we're going to be the losers.
We already have. We've been running it. We've been doing this for quite a bit of time now. We've been very doing great results. But yeah, we took this on. We've got everybody in our community. We're bringing them to task to make sure that we get it done, and everybody here should be part of that.
And I'm not really surprised. I don't know if many of you know, but the mayor of Dearborn is considered, you know, a lot of us are mayors, supervisors, have leadership roles, but your mayor here in Dearborn is considered a leader amongst the leaders, and so we look up to him for guidance and things. He really has been very good for the entire region, and so I'm going to copy those ideas. I'll come over and see you.
And
this is
Mayor Pletko, you touched very briefly on the Van Bourne Road corridor and the development there. So one, kind of where do you see the city and their progress on developing that plan and executing that plan? And two, how well of a partner has the city of Taylor been for you in that process locally?
The city of Taylor, I met with Mayor Sollers right around Thanksgiving and indicated we've really got to get this. If Taylor is committed to it, we need to make that commitment. So I think it was early December, we restarted the steering committee. And one of the good things is about Taylor and City of Dearborn Heights used Wade and Trim's impact for as a consultant. So the groups are going to formulate a series of ordinances that will be for the corridor planning. We also talked about both communities giving about $1.5 million per mile towards this development. What is kind of unique is the Dearborn Heights TIFA. If you go across the street of Van Bourne, that's not a TIFA area in Taylor. If you look at the Taylor TIFA area and you go across the street to Dearborn Heights, it's not a TIFA area in Dearborn Heights. So we have this oddity. But we definitely, you're going to see some major, major changes. We're going to have Wayne County. We want to get some of their dollars allocated to that particular thing. We're going to change it. We don't like the name Van Bourne Corridor, so we're going to give it a new identity. But we want to redo the street. We want to increase economic development. But at the same time, whether the new business goes into Taylor side or Dearborn Heights side, we're not going to compete. We really. And one of the things that we've seen as a real incentive is the fact that Ford Motor Company moved into the old Masco location. And so we're going to also raise an invitation to Ford Motor Company to come to our meetings and be involved, since they got at least a 10-year commitment there. And so we've already talked about some dollars. We talked about getting the county engaged to redo that. We had a meeting in Dearborn Heights about a year ago in which we gave some examples of what the street could look like. And based upon that input, we're going to have that quarter. So we're excited. And I'm just hoping that with what is going on with the Mayor Taylor, that that doesn't have a negative effect. But I think it's far enough along that I think this thing is going to happen.
Got a question for you guys. What are the chances of continuing to work on combining resources between the two cities in order to benefit the residents as a whole in terms of savings? And I'm not talking about the 911 dispatch. I'm talking about other resources, whether it's DPW, whether it's just different departments, combining resources between the two cities in order to have greater tax savings.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're always welcome, we always welcome anybody who wants to talk about how we can work together. As you know, we've been doing it, and we believe that it is important that our communities, are all we love ours and so on. But the truth is, we live in this community, these communities, and there are communities that if they fail, if they don't make it, then we are going to be less the better for it. So it really is a thing about us working together. We're at the bottom of the chart when it comes to how they distribute money and so on and so forth. So the more that we can do together, and we do it, the more we work together. We've worked together on a number of projects here where our staff and their staff have come together to do exactly what you said, get things done for less overall cost. So that's something that we're always, or at least I'm always willing to consider.
Yeah, the mayor and I are good friends. And so one of the things I thought was a big success, and we probably don't talk about it enough, was the allowing library services. So Dearborn residents can use Dearborn Heights as libraries, and Dearborn Heights can use Dearborn. And in fact, according to our librarian, sometimes a third of the Caroline Kennedy occupants are from Dearborn. Because if you live at Silvery Lane and Wilson, it's much easier to come to our library.
In fact, we did this, 3 years ago? I'm trying to remember. When we started to track how is this coming out, how are we doing, it was amazing. The people from each city that came in were exactly the same number of people overall, meaning that the people who love to go to the library have to go to two libraries and really enjoy themselves, and nobody was getting, paying more or less, or no one was getting the better of the deal. It turned out to be amazingly on its own. It turned out to be something where the people selected and they were wise.
And both of our police and fire departments operate in a very similar manner that, quite frankly, if you have a Dearborn Heights police officer or a Dearborn police officer show up, I mean, we offer the same kinds of services. So there's a lot of opportunity. One of the things that I learned very early as a mayor, and one of the reasons I think it's a key to get the communication of 911 all under one roof, is that if I was driving around my car and I'm driving in West Dearborn and I saw something, I could not get on the radio in the car and talk to Dearborn Dispatch. And that needs to all be changed, because the communities, criminals don't look at these boundaries. They know they're in a particular area. And the other, the cooperation. I mean, your fire department fuels up at my fire department. So there's shared fueling. There's a lot of shared things that we do. I think both communities want to keep its individual, and so we're not looking at a combination of two cities, but there's a lot of things we could do together to save money. And the fact that there's so commonness in services, you don't lose anything.
Bob?
Thank you. Challenges for funding going forward. I mean, our economy is booming right now. The house prices are up. But long term, for older suburbs like Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, we've got the downturn in manufacturing, repeal of the personal property tax. The mayor of Dearborn mentioned about changes to Fairland. I know the Hyatt Regency, which was a and still is a beautiful building, has been vacant. How do you see meeting and delivering the same city services going forward? Things like our joint IT between Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, or our joint library venture. But we have an aging housing structure. These house prices are they can only go up, I think, so much further, and then they're going to go down. How we're going to meet those financial challenges going forward?
Well, I mean, that's what we're doing on a regular basis. So, I mean, you know, every year when we do our budgets, we have to determine where we're at, where we expect to be at, so on and so forth. So those are things we track very carefully and we're very aware of. It's a matter of how much can we do things that will be cost effective for everybody. You know, the way that, that happens is that we find, you know, like with our case right now, other communities around us have joined us in terms of delivering a service. That service then is one that everybody is paying their fair share, but it does cut some certain costs and so on. It's not perfect. I mean, as I said earlier, we're at the bottom of the pool, so we can't expect a lot from, you know, the counties and everything else. They've got to deal with what they have to deal with. So those are things I'd like to be able to tell you, hey, we're going to slam dunk, we're going to make that go away. It's not, but it is things that we've dealt with before and we are committed to working together. That's one of the things at the local level we've done better, I think, than any other entity in government is working together.
Councilman, I don't take that dim of a view, and the reason I say that is I think there's a lot of good things going on, and I see a lot of economic development. One of the things, and it was very critical years on, but we have something that people call in Dearborn Heights Bigfoot homes. But we have people coming in building good-sized homes, replacing smaller homes with bigger homes. Look at the development on Ford Road. That's becoming a major downtown area for the city of Dearborn Heights, and I think the same thing's going to happen on Warren Avenue. But I'm watching every year lots of dollars being invested, and I think one of the things that has really given the economic development at Dearborn Heights is the fact that the Arab Americans have moved to Dearborn Heights and have brought with it business dollars, investment dollars, and homes that we're actually not a dwindling city. We're actually getting stronger as time goes on. I don't want to say the community, but early when I was a mayor, I was visiting other communities just to kind of learn, and I went to one downriver community, and the mayor gave me a suggestion. It's tough not saying the city, but you maybe you would be able to figure it out. And they said, oh, we had a major shopping center here. We were the community that everybody wanted to be living in the 1960s. And so consequently, we said, oh, we do everything great. So we're not going to expand. We're going to keep everything the same. Well, what they found out was those weren't the kind of kitchens people wanted. People didn't want homes with two bedrooms. The shopping plaza they had got old and got replaced with newer ones, Southland, Fairlane, that replaced it. And overnight, their community got old. And they were never, and they're still not able to turn it around. Their advice to me was, you need to have constant change. When people are coming in your community and spending dollars to develop homes and businesses, then you're a vibrant community. When that stops happening, look out. And that's one of the things that I've looked at my whole time as mayor, is to try to encourage people. Even though it becomes very easy to sit there and say,
well, everything's so nice. Why would we want to change? Because life is constantly changing. And if your housing stock doesn't reflect the market and what people want in the market, if your businesses don't provide the services, have adequate parking, all the necessities, then what's going to happen to the business? And once, my dad was a small businessman and had a business in West Detroit in Hamtramck. And I remember when he was active in his chamber, and the big question in Hamtramck was, because everybody was getting cars, there was no place to park a car. And my dad was saying in the chamber, we've got to get parking in Hamtramck because people are going to go to Sterling Heights, they're going to go to Warren, they're going to go to the suburbs. And that's what happened. And Joseph Campbell, overnight, in 10 years, changed. So you've got to look at being a vibrant community and to adapt. Change, unfortunately, while we don't like it, is a necessity.
Big round of applause for our mayor. Thank you very, very much.
Wrapping up our coverage of A Tale of Our Cities 2020, the annual luncheon that takes place with the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce and the mayors of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. We want to thank both the Chamber, City of Dearborn Television, CDTV, and of course Mayor O'Reilly and Dearborn Heights Mayor Poletko for letting us put this on the air for listeners to hear what their mayors, at least in those two cities, have planned for the year ahead, and a look back at some of the accomplishments from the year 2019 and some of the challenges that are ongoing in our cities. Thanks so much for joining us on today's edition of the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw and I will both be back next week for another edition of the program. Stay tuned. We've got Kitty Love up next, taking a trip down Highway 61 here on WHFR Making Waves. Have a great week.
Do you like the sound of a jazzy big band? How about something operatic?
What a bright shining star!
Maybe something lighthearted.
I'm feeling too good today. I'm feeling the way I shouldn't.
Hear them all on Big Band Broadway and beyond. I'm Joe, your host, every Friday from 10 a.m. till noon on WHFR 89.3.
I'm feeling too good today. I got the feeling too good today blues.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Mexico.